What's so great about? What's so great about?
About the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the H-E double hockey sticks are you?
Very W-E double hockey sticks, Terry, and you.
Okay, that's enough.
One time.
Just I too am well. Okay. I too am well.
Okay, great. So, how about that storm, huh?
Oh, my Lord. Were you out in it? Were you driving up?
No, but I did have to go from my car to the building. As you know, that Dunn's to my office walk is a good
that
4 minutes.
That arduous trek.
Yes. Well, you said it. How about you? How about you, Slim?
You know, it wasn't like I was the dart, you know, so it wasn't too, it was great. The dart was empty.
Nice.
It was like me and one other person in the carriage. It was great. Those punk kids went around. We're talking about Storm Barra, of course.
Yes.
But, it wasn't so bad this side. And then it was like when I got off at Sydney Parade to go to the hospital, I was blown away, George. Blown.
I just love a good storm.
Yeah, I know you do.
I do.
You're never out in it.
No, yeah, exactly. But still.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, what have you got there? Okay.
You heard that, did you?
Yeah, I heard it.
Continue on from my lovely fizz that I had last
week.
Oh,
yes. The infamous.
The infamous. Now infamous. Now famous after that podcast. I've got an Old Mount Cider.
Is that... Hold on. Show that up again.
You're right. Your eyes aren't deceiving you.
Mount.
Strawberry. Yeah.
Not Mount.
Moat.
Old Mount Cider.
And actually says on the label, pronounced incorrectly since 1947. They know that.
Oh, they got you.
those old son of a guns.
Okay.
New Zealand cider.
Okay, just
do you
pour
want to
it.
The flavor? Do you want to know the flavor?
Okay.
Strawberry and pomegranate. It's called a...
You're going to hate that. What are you even doing?
I'm going to love it, man.
Okay, come on then. This one I will stop proceedings for.
There's nothing better than a pomegranate flavoured drink.
You are
Club used to do was it a raspberry and pomegranate. Oh, it was a bloody delish.
That seems I can't get a read on you at all. I would
have
thought
you
would
have
scoffed
like a lime and kiwi one.
Yeah,
that
that's
is no good.
Up, that's more
no,
up your
that's
street.
No, you would think that, but it's no good. I tried it before. I did not like it.
All right, then what's this one like? Look at the colour of it and everything.
It's fucking delish.
Come on, you didn't even give it a chance. What's it really like?
It's still, oh,
no, okay, no, too much. I'm sorry I pushed you.
It is, oh, delightful.
All right, well, I've got my apple and blackcurrant here keeping me
I mean, we're from the same world, Andy. Mine's just fizzy and alcoholic.
Ugh. Two things that I would not have in my drink. Fizz.
Fizz? Oh, come
not in
on,
my
come
evening
come
drink.
Off it.
With my dinner. My dinner, I would have a Coke Zero now. All about the fizz with dinner, but after dinner, I'm settled now after dinner. No one happened
to upset.
You know
what I've been having with dinner lately?
Yes.
Because we bought a bottle of 7-Up Free, a 2-litre bottle, which,
okay.
You know, is unheard of in this house. But it's been sitting in the fridge on the bottom shelf. And I'll tell you this about my fridge. The bottom shelf gets unreasonably cold.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that the vegetable crisper drawers, my carrots get ice on them if I leave them there too long. Too long. Well, you got to remember, you got to be thinking about it. If you forget about it, well forget about it.
Joke, okay. you never run out, do you?
It's the fizz, Andy.
Very good.
But that now has a bit of ice in the bottle.
I do love it now when if I accidentally put like a drink in the freezer for like an hour and then forget about it and then there's a bit of
I forget about it
then. But yeah, I do like a little suggestion of ice.
But we didn't end up using it as a mixer. So I've been having a glass of that with ice with my dinner. And I will tell you.
Go on. It's
quite refreshing.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's cool, to be clear.
All right, Fido Dido.
Yeah? I used to actually be quite a fan of Fido Dido.
What a great kind of marketing mascot.
I remember I had like a Fido Dido folder in school, and it was my pride and joy.
Was this primary school or primary school, college? Yeah.
Primary school. But you know what? When I went to college, like when I was in school, this isn't going
to... It would have been cool to have a Fido Dido thing in college.
I totally didn't get a read on college at all. Maybe it's because there was a bunch of country bumpkins in my class. But when I went to college, I would just use my school bag from sixth year. And I had loads of bands written on it and Tippex and all this sort of stuff and all the shit that you put on it.
Tippex.
Or whatever, you know. Yeah, some of the stuff was written in Tippex. Heartograms in Tippex or something. When I went to college...
Just let me, smack my eyes forward there, because it rolled so far in the back of my head.
I know, agreed. But no one else in my class had anything. They just had normal grown-up bags, and I was like, oh, I'm a boy in the big world here. Quickly.
I'm his little boy.
Quickly changed tact. But listen, enough...
Briefcase the next day.
Briefcase wanker.
Yeah.
How are you, Terry?
That was you. Yeah, I'm good, yeah. You know, getting in the Christmassy spirit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you. Did I ask you this last time? Do you find it easy to get into the Christmas spirit? Are you still Mr. Christmas? Or are you... it's a touch and go sometimes.
You know what? It's not as easy, shall we say, as when it used to be just, I'm going drinking... And I'm getting in all my Christmas bits in. Now I have less time to do that.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy. But I still try. I still try, you know.
It is still the most wonderful time of the year, as the song says. I will say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. What am I talking about?
See, now, and I say that, someone asked me last year, do you enjoy Christmas? And I was just like... Honestly, no. and everyone laughed at the time. And it was like, I think it was just, I was just stressed out that year. But I was just honestly, it's a relief. And I still kind of feel like I'm less grinchy now. But I still do feel a sense of relief on Christmas Day or Stephen's Day. That's like...
It can be a very high pressure time. Especially with a little child.
You must have fun. Everyone must have fun. And everyone must see everybody. And everyone must have fun. And, you know, all this sort of stuff.
We're doing another low-key Christmas this year. So I think we're going down to my parents mischief? For...
Got a mischief?
I farted. Oh, that's what I thought.
That's my shtick.
That's my bit. You stole my bit. No, not the God of Mischief. Okay. Not Tom Hiddleston.
I was 5 seconds too late with that comeback. I was trying to. Yeah. I was racking my brains. Loki. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I ruined your thing.
So we're going down to my mom's for presents and breakfast. And then, Faye's sister and her family are coming over. Ooh. They're, renting a house in Meath. So I think we're going to go out and do the afternoon and dinner and stay over there with them.
On the day?
On the day, yeah.
Nice.
Boom. That's it. And I'm sure we'll do dinner in my mum's. I feel your pain with the whole you have to have fun
thing. You know?
Because we don't do Christmas dinner in my family. You know, my parents normally have people coming and going.
Yeah.
Last two Christmases aside, you know, it's normally a fucking revolving door madhouse.
Yeah.
Last year, this year won't be, obviously, but we do a New Year's dinner.
Yeah.
Normally, it's normally New Year's Day we would have it. And I'd always be in work on the 2nd of January for year end close off. Yeah. So I'd stop drinking at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever, and everybody else is still drinking. And then my dad and all of them would be like, "Well, what's the matter with you, Grumpy?" He's like, "Well, I stopped drinking 3 hours ago, and you guys are just fucking drunk, repeating yourself over and over. Like, I'm not having fun anymore. I'm just sitting here waiting to go home."
And there's a funny thing about going to parents for Christmas, because we've last year and this year we've just done our own Christmas dinner ourselves, which has been wonderful, to be honest. But like, it's like whenever we go to either of my parents' house, like, do you want a drink, Kerry? Do you want a drink? And we're always like, I mean, I'm always driving, but Kerry doesn't really drink anyway, same as myself. And it's like, no, I'm grand. It's like, are you sure you won't have, like, it's almost like yeah. You know, it's like, she's not having a drink. What are we going
to
do?
Just,
you know, like
it's almost like you'll have a glass of wine just to sit there beside you. Yeah,
just so you'll stop asking.
It's like, hey, do you want another glass? No, I'm still working my way through this one.
Yeah.
Like, but like with me, like, because my fucking parents are party animals, like the keg is in, and I was like, when I start declining a drink, that means that, like, I'm no fun. I was like, I just can't, like, I can't, I actually can't, like, so much so that I had to be like, I can't do it on Christmas, I can't do it on New Year's Day anymore. Like, can we do it the first Saturday in January?
Yeah.
So I can actually enjoy myself. And, like,
yeah,
God bless my relatives, but, like, they'll get really drunk and start repeating questions and stuff. And it's just, like, yeah, there's only so much tolerance.
Yeah.
And, like, Faye's normally having a blast, and I'd be, like, trying to be, like, how can I maneuver home early? Like, I'd see Faye's like, do you have another drink? Or, like, are you ready to go?
Putting the feelers out there.
Yeah, and she'd be like, oh, I'm having a great time. I'm like, great. Like, one year, I even had to just be like, I have to go. I have to get a taxi home.
Like, I just have here. To go, all right?
I have to go, okay? It was, like, going up to, like, 12 o'clock, and I had to be up at, whatever, fucking 6 or half 6. I was like, look, I have to go. I need to get some sleep. I was like, you can stay here or, you know, get a taxi home later on. Whatever. Yeah. I have to go. It was only down the road to Clontarf from mom and dad's. But, like, even that, I was like, you're leaving Faye here? I'm like, yes. God, yes.
Oh, Grinch. And that's the thing as well.
Stay out of it, old man.
You're just called, like, Grinch then. Mm. Grinch is the term. But, I mean, like, you know,
grumpy. Nothing makes me grumpier than being called grumpy. Let me tell you that right now. Oh. It's a chicken and the egg situation.
Note
right there.
To self.
Nah, it's fine. I know you don't mean it.
Sure. Anything else been going on with your pal?
Not really. We kind of. Oh, Santa came to Dunnycarney.
Hey. Like,
on Sunday? Yeah, so we went out and visited, and Bonnie was terrified.
Yeah.
But my little niece went and got a selection box off him, which was great. Yeah, it was, you know, there was a certain point, there was a bit of a free for all, let me tell you. And it was
Gushy.
like
children.
Santa got out and he was, you know, just picking random kids. And then he was like coming over to me and Rosie. And I was like holding Rosie's hand. And then somebody's like, oh, Santa, you have to go to this person first. So I went over there, whatever, and then, like, as that happened, like, older woman came in with, like, her three grandkids and stood in front of us, and I was, like, getting super stressed. I'm like, it's more like Santa's here, this little girl is 6, if he doesn't get a present,
yeah,
I'm gonna fucking lose it, like,
yeah, know, I mean, like, what are they doing?
And you know, yeah, exactly.
Could you say to your one, sorry, there's a queue, we're next?
No, there was no queue. It was just an event. No, you can't. Oh, now, in fairness to the Santa, he was very good. He was like, oh, and who was this girl here I was talking to? Whatever, it came back. But, like, and our friend Andy Ryan, who lives down the road from me, was there watching. He's like, I could see you. Like, it looked like you're about to, like, start throwing elbows or, like, like Seinfeld with the rye bread. Like, give me that old bag. I was like, oh, man. Like, I just don't handle that kind of situation, especially when it's a queue thing and people start trying to jump the queue. I start getting, like, it's an ugly side to me.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not good.
Part of me part of me would like to see that side, Terry.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. On a lighter note, I've been watching something Christmassy, Andy.
Oh, yes?
On Disney Plus.
Dudish.
Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah? Any good?
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. Yeah, it's actually, like, I'd find it, it's just very charming. Like, you'd find it hard-pressed to be like, this is crap.
Yeah.
Even a cynic like you.
Oh, yeah. That was directed at me, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I said it out loud.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it. It's one of those. I mean, we're going to have to do it eventually, aren't we? For the Patreon. But it's
I'm just happy to see Jeremy Renner again. You know,
what's he? I mean, we'll get into it proper on the Patreon. But what's Marvel's deal these days? Huh? Who's running that ship over there?
Feige, but they're trying new things. Like,
I'll say it. But Hawkeye, anyway. It gave me real Falcon and the Winter Soldier vibes. Is it nothing like that? Is it more fun, like Loki?
It's way more fun. Right. It's way more fun.
Okay.
You know, like, that's what I will say about it. Like,
right, okay.
But, yeah, like, I'm 2 episodes in and I'm loving it.
Okay. 6-episode deal, is it?
Yeah, I think so. They're closer to an hour-long episode than... Yeah, I guess Loki was 45 minutes or so, like...
And how much of the way through the Phase 4 are they now?
3 movies. So I think Spider-Man is December. So this is coming out next week, I think, actually.
Spider-Man going to be, like, a huge deal.
I think so. I think that's going to be the one where everybody's like, whoa! Because it's like... Although it kind of looks crappy. I don't know, like... It kind of looks crappy, like.
And is a full Sony deal again, or is Marvel?
Yeah, it's
to do
like
with
it's a Sony Marvel joint
right
thing, but like they've done all the trailers, so now all the mystery. It's like, oh, Doc Ock from like Spider-Man 2, like Alfred Molina, like Willem Dafoe from Spider-Man 1 is in it, like Jamie Foxx from Amazing Spider-Man. All the like,
how are they going to pull
them
that
all
off?
And it's I don't know, but like they've de-aged them or something. They just don't look.
I have a feeling like that.
Like, let them be older. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let Willem Dafoe be Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, write it that way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, but just let like, Alfred Molina look like Alfred Molina now, not, like, polished or something.
I would rather that than the de-aging. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I would rather watch them not necessarily in their prime. I mean, depending on what you'd consider.
I mean, Willem Dafoe's prime has lasted for 40 years, man.
Willem Dafoe hasn't even begun to peak.
What about you? Anything going on your end?
Nothing really now, Tony, to be honest with you. Nothing worth podcasting about. I've been watching my usual stuff. I've started a new website in work. Very interesting. I won't get into it.
Pass.
No, I won't get into it. And if I do want to get into it, you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to it. What's the story? I seen a new ad for... Is there a new South Park out or coming
out? Yeah, it's called Post-COVID. Apparently it's like when they're all like 40 or something like that. Like, where did you see that for?
I just saw an ad for it on like YouTube or something.
Okay, like, because it's been out in the States.
Has it?
We haven't got it over here, but you could get it through your nefarious means, like.
Yes, of course. Rather. It looks it does look good. I love all the COVID stuff that they're doing. I liked the vaccination special. I like the pandemic special. They've just always really got their finger right on the pulse, like.
Yeah, this is the first one of the movies. We were talking about them doing that thing where they've like signed up for like how many more episodes and like 13 movies. I think this is the first one of the movies.
Oh, it's a movie.
That they're doing. So it's like an hour long.
As part of their $900 million deal.
Yeah, good for them, huh?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Well, listen, Terry, on that note, speaking of movies, can I talk to you for a minute about a little movie on Netflix?
Please.
Called The Forgotten Battle. Now, Terry, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about this one. If I can first hit you with a bit of buff, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. It is a Dutch film, for those who haven't seen it. In Dutch, its title is De Slag om de Scheld.
Wow, very good.
Thank you.
I like it.
It is a 2020 Dutch World War II movie directed by Mathis van Hennigan Jr., that depicts the Battle of the Scheldt in 1944. Now, care to take a stab at the budget, Terry?
I'm going to say 25.
Ooh, just out of the buffer zone. 14 million.
I was out by 11, Andy.
Yeah, but you're just out of the buffer zone. Oh, no, it was 5.
It was 5, wasn't it,
sorry,
man?
Okay, you're 6 out of the buffer zone.
14, wow, it looks great for 14 million,
yes.
I have to say.
Now, it had a limited release, so would you care to take a stab at the...
Where was it released?
It was
in
just,
America?
No, it was just released in Holland, or the Netherlands.
I'm going to guess, like, 80,000?
442,000.
Wow, more than Mank.
Maybe that wasn't just Dutch audiences. I'd say
probably Belgium and a few other places as well. Let's
care to take a stab at the the total, I guess, worldwide.
500,000.
No, I may have got my figures wrong here. 6 million for their
worldwide.
Yes. So it technically didn't make its budget, but then obviously it's on Netflix as well. So this
isn't really a Netflix original. This is just one of the ones that Netflix bought, I assume.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. I mean, it's under the Netflix. It has a little N on it. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I guess it's.
Well, I don't.
They just scooped up. That's okay.
I didn't know.
But now on, I'm picking the movies.
This was same director. He directed the 2011 prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing.
Interesting. I mean, look, I'm a huge Thing head.
You are a Thing head.
The Thing is top 10 movies for me of all time.
Ooh.
And this the prequel, look, is not nearly as good as John Carpenter's one, but it's okay. It's okay, you know? It's not terrible.
I'm not surprised. He was also due to direct Army of the Dead, but the project ended up being directed by Zack Snyder after lingering in development hell for a number of years.
After watching this, I would have preferred this guy.
What was Army of the Dead?
It's the one with Batista.
Oh, that army.
It was close to 3 hours, like... Self-indulgent.
I remember you saying that, like, here's what I don't want my zombie movie to be. 2 hours, 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you gotta give it between 90 and 110 minutes
100%.
For a zombie movie. Anything more than that, you're kind of outstaying your welcome.
Now, this is the second most expensive Dutch film ever made, after Black Book in 2006. Never heard of it. Now, a bit of background here, Terry. I don't have much, but if you'll indulge me for a minute. Filming the battle scenes in the Netherlands turned out to be near impossible due to all kinds of environmental issues. So certain wild animal populations couldn't be disturbed. They didn't get permission for use explosives and things like that. We actually do training on that in our company, the animal being disturbed by whatever developments. Anyway, another problem was that modern windmills had been placed around the original site of the titular battle, and money spent on digitally removing them would be better spent on adding planes or destroyed villages. The problem was solved by going to Lithuania, where they obviously don't give a shit about any of that, and offer tax benefits.
Have at it, boys.
They offer tax benefits for movie productions. This being a Dutch movie,
that's a big business. I will tell you that right now.
What is?
Places being like, yeah, sure, you can come shoot here. It's like fucking The Simpsons did a whole thing on it, like way back when. But like, Atlanta has become like a tax haven for movies, because that's where like Marvel Studios is set up. You know what I mean? Like,
interesting. This being a Dutch movie with a limited budget, as we said, 14 million, by comparison, in 98, Saving Private Ryan cost around 60 million. The director saved money by doing copious rehearsals of the battle scene with only the actors and stunt people and no crew. This allowed him to thoroughly choreograph the action before the cameras rolled, managing to film the scene in a mere 3 days. The opening of Saving Private Ryan took 6 weeks to shoot. I don't know what this person's gripe is with Saving Private Ryan.
Well, the scenes are very...
Saving Private Ryan, who, may I say, took 6 weeks to get a very similar shot.
They're very similar styles of shooting. You know, if anything, you would say this guy is aping Spielberg.
Oh, okay. Aping?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It's copying. Like a pastiche is too hard a word.
Okay,
homage, maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't like what you're doing with your hands when you said pastiche. You're enjoying it all too much.
That's a line out of In Bruges, pal.
Okay, well, I don't know it that well.
Free gammity dipstick.
The German MG-42 heavy machine gun was universally feared by Allied soldiers. It could fire 1,500 rounds per minute and was nicknamed Hitler's buzzsaw because its firepower could easily rip bodies apart. When sound designer Hermann Piette learned that surviving veterans described its sound as ripping linen, he mixed the actual sounds of ripping linen and paper into the soundtrack.
Interesting.
That's... to be honest, all I've got. I've got a bit about the actual Battle of the Scheldt, if you're interested, but, you know, I don't
I am
think
not.
You want all that. But, yeah, that's what I got for the buff. Now, Terry, very interested to know what you made of this movie.
Can I ask you why you chose this movie? Just out of interest, before we get started. Why did you choose
it? I saw a trailer for it on Netflix and it looked deadly.
Okay.
is the simple answer.
That's how they get you. Yeah. Cool. I really enjoyed this movie. I think this is the best one that you've picked so far.
Hands down.
And yes. You know the way we were talking about how Netflix has become the modern day, what would you say, the modern day Extravision? You know, we were kind of saying that thing. This feels like, not Extravision, but this feels like a different version of like a BBC drama, you know, two-part miniseries or, you know, meshed into one.
Yeah.
That is like very good production values. Like they're really making that 14 million stretch. It doesn't look fucking... like nothing looks shitty about it. It looks authentic.
That's the
like
thing.
They're
everything.
Shooting on location, it looks like, and... you know, it looks proper. This like the fucking tanks. Everything seems visceral.
Yeah.
It seems authentic. Like, and like, it gave you a real sense of like the time.
Yeah.
It's a very well made film. It's a very well made film.
I have to say, it was very like, and like I noticed, like you can tell. I think with a lot of these movies, if they're a bit more low budget, that they don't often have when the action scenes are happening. They don't often have a big wide. Sort of shot of, you know, it's always very contained, a little pocket here, a pocket there, but they did all that just so like so well. And to be honest, like,
but
the acting was good, the it was very well directed, it like the special effects looked great, and
like they had extras, you know, it didn't seem that low budget, like, you know what I mean. They had people there, they had groups of like, you know, 20 and 30 at a time. Like, you know, it was really well done. I like it, again, it's something I've never heard of. This battle for whatever. What was it called?
It's the Schlag um die Scheldt.
Yes. But what was the name of the town? It's like,
oh, like
Halbrecht or something like that. Like, what is it?
Zealand or Antwerp or
no? Antwerp is where they need. That's in Belgium. That's because I was like, hey, Faye, this is Belgium because of our Belgium family connection. But it was like the town in like Zealand is Holland.
I thought Zealand was an area.
I don't know. I thought Zealand was because he was like, oh, you're from Zealand. When he was talking to when the guy in the wheelchair was talking,
I think it's because it's a place in the Netherlands. I don't know.
Anyway, with this little fucking village that, you know,
yeah,
there, and like, what I found so interesting about it was the characters. Each of the characters was three dimensional. Most like, and
even the Nazis,
more so than the Nazis, like more so,
yeah,
like the. Every character in it was an interesting character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They had more than one dimension. They had layers to their character.
Yeah, like, and this was one of the first movies, I think, that didn't have just your sort of stereotypical Nazi, you know, just like no real redeeming qualities, like no sort of talk on, you know.
There was one or two, like the guy that was...
yeah, but you know,
the interrogator, the guy that was the interrogator was like almost as close to Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List as you were gonna get, like, you know what I mean, like the real fucking horrible.
But the thing is, like, it just wasn't all that. Like, I find in a lot of those movies, and I never really noticed it, but you just think, yeah, they're Nazis, they're arseholes. But like, you know, like you'd never see one who's like, oh, doesn't really want to be there, but he doesn't really have a choice almost, or you
like
know.
It follows three main characters. There's a Dutch girl who works for the mayor, who's kind of like, her dad is a doctor, that so they're both kind of working for the Germans, really.
Yeah.
You know, her and her dad. There's a Dutch soldier who is working for the SS, which I found a very interesting angle, that like he's Dutch and he's signed up to, you know, the Nazi party, which is an odd thing. And then there's an English pilot, a young English pilot that kind of, you know, I don't know, like he grows up essentially as this goes on. Like,
yeah.
So those are our three characters. But then like the other characters that orbit around, like the most interesting character, I thought, he comes and goes out of the movie very quickly, is the German SS lieutenant who has no legs in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And like, he's the one, like, you would think, oh, like, this guy is going to be, like, the horrible Nazi. And he's like, no, like, it's all a joke. You know, I was no use to them. They fucking sent me to the camp where they keep the Jews and the kids to, like, you know, watch over them or whatever like that. Like, you know, it was like, there's no good in anybody. That whole thing, he's become completely, how would you say, like, disenfranchised with the Nazi party, like, after that. And, like, he was a very, like, he has the hair lip. He's a very striking presence about him. And a very, like, I was like, ooh, who's this guy? Like,
yeah, this guy's got an interesting face. I like
yeah,
looking at
and him. He gets your man. So, like, what's his name even? I can't even think of the Dutch soldier's name.
I'm never going to get that now, sorry.
But, like, it starts off with him. He's on the front lines in Russia. Yeah. And, like, he gets injured. That's where he meets him, and he gets sent to this town. Like, a man in the wheelchair puts in a good word for him. So he gets sent to this town in Holland, and he's working at a desk job for this kind of, like, as soon as I saw your man, the leader of the occupying forces, and I was like, oh, here's this fuck now, like, you know, he
you
like
can tell by his face.
He's the cane, and he has like the hair swept over, and, like, the round kind of pig apple face,
porky
whatever
face,
like, and I was like, and even him, like, you're like, oh, he's gonna be like a real fucking despicable. He's like, no, he's just like a guy that's like, I'm doing my job.
He's not totally one-dimensional,
you know? Because again, it's like the whole inciting incident, even if we go back to the start, is the forces are leaving Germany or Holland. The German force are leaving Holland, and some kid who's like taking pictures on his camera, like he takes a couple too many of like a German officer who like smashes his camera, and then he picks up a stone and throws it through the window of one of the cars, which causes it to crash and like kill two German soldiers. Then like they realize that, oh, the Germans were leaving kind of prematurely. You know, the Allies haven't made it to this town yet, so they still have control, and they're kind of hunting
this
boy.
Guy.
And he is the brother of one of our main characters, the girl who works in the mayor's office. So your man is like the portly, you know, SS commander, is kind of sniffing around their house and stuff, and he knows that it's his son, that it's you know, the brother that did it. So it's you get a really tense scene where it's like the dad is begging, like, if my son turns himself in, can he be spared, all this stuff, and he's like, I'll give him special treatment. And you're seeing these scenes through the eyes of our defector kid, and you're like, oh, like, he's like, he's gonna give him special treatment. And then the next scene is just like, okay, we got him. Even though I said I was going to give him special treatment, I actually, you know, I can't do that. Everybody has to be punished. And it's just like a little stamp and moves to the side. It's not like he's like cackling with glee or anything like that. It's just like, oh, like, no,
I another, can't do that.
Another day at the office. Okay, next thing.
I have to say, I really liked the, just the, like, this may sound too simplistic, but just that map at the start of the movie where it had just through the colour of, like, this is like as the Germans are starting to lose everything and the Allies start to come through and they've completely pushed them all back except for this one little area. And
this sliver, yeah.
And all these people in this town are waiting for the Allies to come in and liberate them like everyone else, but the Nazis have a bit of a stronghold on it, and so nothing's really changed in this town. I just love that whole dynamic of, like, when are they coming? This is over. When are they coming?
Did you ever watch Dad's Army?
No.
So that was the intro. It was like, who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? And it was like all that kind of thing of, like, the English flag moving through Europe and stuff like that to kind of...
Was Dad's Army good?
It's weird. Like, yeah. It's a bunch of elderly comedians.
Yeah.
And it's set in World War II. It's a comedy, but, like... There were times where it's a spoof, it's a farce, but then it's also like it gets like serious and stuff. Kind of like Blackadder goes forth, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, yeah, kind of like Blackadder or something.
Yeah, Blackadder is obviously better, but like I remember watching it with my dad and laughing as a kid because there were silly parts in it, like, you know, and the main guy would always be like, you stupid boy, to like the young corporal that gets everything wrong or whatever like that, like...
But I suppose, like, with that kind of, like, map at the start, I felt like straight away that just took away, like, 10 minutes worth of explaining it. Just give us it in 20 seconds.
Very efficient. The whole thing is very efficient storytelling.
Yeah. And I was thinking when I thought two things. I thought, one, Terry's going to be loving this now. If I'm enjoying it, Terry's going to be loving
this. I've got him by the jaffers.
And then the other one was, Terry's going to think I picked this movie accidentally or something. I just stumbled upon a hit.
I thought it was a Dutch horror movie.
Did you actually think it was horror?
No. Right. I thought it was going to be. Yeah, I thought they were all going to be horrors that you picked. I like the... First of all, like the fact that I didn't know anybody except for old Draco Malfoy from Harry Potter.
Harry said it was Draco Malfoy. I didn't recognize him.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good
in all this. I feel like the girl I've seen before, the sister.
Tume?
Yeah. I feel like I've seen her in something. Have I? Have you?
No, I don't know. Let me give it a quick guess.
I'll tell you one thing while you're searching. I love the authenticity of... hearing the British people speak English and hearing the Dutch people speak Dutch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like life, you know what I mean?
Just like real life.
You know, it was kind of like, it was just exactly how it would be. And I was kind of hoping it wouldn't be all Dutch. I knew, like, I didn't actually realize when I picked it that it was a Dutch movie. And I thought, like, have I shat the bed on this one? But yeah, it was a good mix. So it, like, it was probably like, what, 70% English, maybe?
Well, yeah, like...
maybe 60?
I'd say it's about 50-50, to be honest. If you think about it, like, the British aren't the whole time.
Yeah, I guess that just shows how little it actually, you know, mattered, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I find with subtitles anyway, like... I mean, like, I'll always watch... I prefer... like, I won't ever watch dubbed.
No.
You know, I just... I can't. I can't do it.
I will say that... and, by the way, if anyone hasn't seen it again, I would highly recommend it anyway. It's definitely...
I would recommend it.
But I didn't take too many notes because of the subtitles. So,
There's enough to kind of...
I'll tell you what I was a fan of. Are you still searching for your one?
Yeah, I found her here. Suzanne Radder.
Right. What was she in?
I don't think anything that you would know.
She looks very, very familiar.
Oogapples.
Ah, Oogapples.
All You Need Is Love, apparently.
Okay.
Oh, is that Sex it? Thing.
Was she the lead in All You Need Is Love?
What is All You Need Is Love?
That's that Beatles musical thing?
That's Across the Universe, oh, okay. I think. You're confusing it with.
Jesus Christ.
You're the Beatles head, huh?
I'm showing myself.
That's very usual, Andy.
I tell you, I
love the whole part of the movie where the Brits crash land.
Yeah, and the whole plane scene was great. Just the whole the whole scene of just seeing all those planes in the sky, the idea just of hovering.
Like, you know, the gliding plane, like,
yeah.
It's just like you're just attached to another plane and you're just gliding, like you don't have an engine. Okay.
That's like, yeah, you can go to war, but bring your little brother too.
Oh, someone Dad. With
like one of those old like hats and the thing. Yay! The propeller on the top.
But like, so they get shot down and it's like five of them, yeah, including Draco, Tom Felton,
yeah,
who's like the senior officer, but he's injured. So they're carrying him, and I love that whole thing in war movies where it's like we have to go from like house to house,
yeah,
in the countryside and like not get found. Like that whole, like they find an empty place, they bring back bottles of, you know, booze or whatever.
Yeah.
And they have a, but like, I was also thinking, like, these two fuckers, like the Scottish guy and the other fella that were like getting like, I mean, it's a great story idea where it's like, this guy's injured, like, fuck him.
Yeah.
You know, and then like the fact that they just like desert them.
I know.
They took everything, like, oh, traitors. And then you have a really like, just like, they seem like they shot on like real streets.
Yeah.
You know, like real, like the town that house was in, like you're looking at it, it's like, oh, cool. And they spot like the German boat.
Yeah.
And they're in the house they were staying in. And you get like a really tense moment.
That's the thing. There was loads of like tension throughout this. Yeah. You know, like, good, there was some like great battle scenes. But like then when it wasn't doing that, they were giving you something else. Like, you know?
I preferred like the battle scene was quite well done. Like the big kind of charge up the hill or whatever like that. Like it was quite well done. But like for me, like I much preferred the whole like the build up and release of tension.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like where it's like they're in the house, the two Germans are there, you can hear the guy, Tom Felton, is injured and they're like have him at gunpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And like there's a, you know, they ends up being a skirmish and then like one of the Germans gets killed. The guy before he gets killed, like our main English guy has the rifle trained on.
Yeah.
The German who has the gun at Tom Felton's head, and like I love him. He was like, just shoot him.
Yeah,
like, I can't. He's like, doesn't matter, mate. Just shoot him. Like as in, like,
yeah, don't worry.
He knows he's dying. Like, yeah. So he's like, don't get yourself killed.
Yeah,
and then like Tom Felton gets shot in the head. Your man shoots the German guy, and I loved how authentic the bullet wounds were. It's just like they're shot, and it's like dead.
Yeah, or like, you know, like, or like that,
like, oh, you know, yeah, like rolled around, like, oh,
or like
God.
that Nazi with no legs when he just went outside and shot himself.
That was great. I had to rewind that. I was like,
yeah, what? Like, oh shit, like, yeah, just shot himself right in the, like, through the neck or the chin, like, yeah,
under the chin.
But it was just real. So I like, it's not that I love seeing those scenes, but I love those real quick ones where you're just like, poof, like, oh.
Yeah,
like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Like,
it was very good, and you get the whole. You get like it. What's the matter? What's that battle?
I stopped. I pressed stop by accident, so I'll have to sync that up.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, and then like I just had about the kid. Ended up getting killed by the firing squad. Extra bad Nazi. Yeah. it's like he's like, you promised me or whatever. It's like he's a Nazi. Like, if you can't trust a Nazi, who can you trust, eh?
Well, that was the thing. The dad seems to be like the doctor was like,
it's like, I can talk to them.
Yeah, it's like, no, yeah, you can't. Yeah. No, you can't.
You have no power here.
Like,
as much as he thinks he does.
Yeah, he thinks he has a little bit, like, and like I was like, oh, like, are they gonna do a thing where it's like, you know, because he's treating the, you know, colonel or whatever this round faced guy is, he has like an infection in his leg. I'm like, oh, is that gonna come back? It's like, nope. You know, that's like, yeah, there's no dramatic, you know, he's gonna get his revenge. It's just like, no, this was part of life in the war. You know, people were dragged away, tied to posts, fucking shot in the stomach and then left there. to be picked away at by seagulls or whatever. Like,
I was thinking, why did they go through all the trouble of taking them all the way to those stakes and shooting them there instead of just like taking them around the alley and shooting them? You know,
well, because then they'd have to clean up the bodies and stuff like that. Like, if it's in the street,
okay.
You know.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. And answer me this one, right? How do they make these special effects look so good at 14 million? Like, nothing looked fake. No explosion looked fake. No, like,
I think they're really doing it. Like, that's the thing. Like,
but how can they do it? How can they do it with 14 million and like these big budget ones? Any movie with like Dwayne The Rock Johnson or whoever else?
Because they don't do it practically. And the reason why is they think it's easier to do it with CGI, but it doesn't look nearly as good ever. And like, if you look at somebody, if you look at somebody like John Carpenter or like Spielberg, like doing Saving Private Ryan, there's no, it's like very little CGI, or might be CGI bullets or something like that. But yeah, like Carpenter stuff was all practical. It was all fucking explosions and fucking monster shit that was practical, and it looks way fucking better as opposed to CGI goop. Or if you ever watch fucking Apocalypse Now, yeah, where it's literally they're fucking dropping napalm. Like, I remember watching it with like a couple of friends of mine, and it was like, I was just in awe of, like, I don't know if you've ever seen that scene.
I haven't seen it, actually.
Well, it's very good. And like the scene where it's like the helicopters are like dropping it, and it's just like, and like fucking giant mushroom clouds of, and it's like how do you film that, like, and yeah, get it organized? And like one of the lines is like, everybody just do what you want, and like they just you know, they have a wide shot on the camera, and it's just like, if you know, we've one shot to get this, like that's why they use the CGI stuff, because it's like
there's room for error.
It's less craft needed. That is it. It's less craft needed.
That's what it is, isn't it? Like, but what is it? Like, why don't they just go and get the people who will do that craft? Like, why? Like, if they've got all that money to spend, is it? Does it take longer?
Takes longer.
Does it hold up production and stuff?
Yeah, like, you got the more prep and stuff like that. Like, as well. Like, whereas it's just like, well, look, we're gonna add it in post.
It's simple. So different. Like, this movie is so like rich,
visceral.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. It's just, it's like, right there in front of you. I'm totally in it. I'm not like, when I'm watching those CGIs, I'm just like, oh, fake. And then, yeah, I'm out of it. Now I'm watching a movie, and how long is left? You know, whereas with this, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, oh, fuck. And, like, you know, you're right in the middle of it.
So, like, the whole plot, the three storylines kind of converge on this battle, essentially. Like,
yeah,
your man kind of gets, like, the Dutch soldier gets sent to the front lines because they think he's been fraternizing with the girl too much.
Yeah.
The girl, like, steals maps from her job to get to the Allies to kind of get back because they killed their brother. And our English guy has, like, basically, he kind of, like, him and his friend Hank, like, Hank won't get in the boat with him.
Yeah.
I think it's because he killed the other guy who had no, like, he killed one of the Germans who had no gun.
Yeah, because the commanding other guy officer killed his,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he doesn't, he just kind of stays behind, and he's out of the movie, essentially.
And
like,
what's his plan?
I think his plan is to wait until the Allies win and get picked up, like, you know what I mean? I think that is it, like.
It's like Road Dog in the Royal Rumble, just holding
clinging to the bottom rope. So, like, they all kind of converge on the battle, and it's like, if the two girls don't get the maps to the Allies, they're dead meat, because it's a suicide mission, essentially. They're going to a bridge where they have no position, and just going to be milled down with machine guns and stuff. But the scene where the two girls, like, get to the boat, and they're getting in the boat, and it's just like a pew, and it's like a silhouette of them in the water, this giant explosion behind me, and just lights everyone. I was like, that looks fucking amazing. Like, it looks great. Like, and it's like you say, so happy to see, like, practical effects done.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the action sequence, it's probably the best action sequence we've watched. Like,
the first
push,
the dam or whatever.
Yeah, the first push at the bridge.
Yeah,
where it's very Saving Private Ryan. It kind of reminded me of Game of Thrones, the Battle of the Bastards. Remember that one?
Yeah,
you know, like
it was just very like that's the thing about like when you're in the plane, when the plane's crashing, and when you're in these scenes, like, the camera's right there, like you're right there beside the guy who's like, huh, huh, and like, yeah. And also you see a lot of that of guys just really freaking out and yeah. and stuff like that. But like the camera just puts you right there with them. It's not, you know, like so you're really sort of feeling it. Like you said, it's sort of a visceral thing. Slight factoid for you that throughout the Battle of the Shell, Terry,
yes.
Battle exhaustion was a major problem for the Canadians because by all accounts they landed in June 1944 and had been pretty much fighting continuously for like four months straight. And a psychiatric report from October 1944 stated that 90% of battle exhaustion cases were men who had been in action for 3 months or longer. And they would go catatonic and curl up in the fetal position. But after a week of rest, they would recover and they'd be able to move about and stuff like that. So, like, the big sort of thing with this seemed to be, like, the main cause of the exhaustion that seemed to be futility, they said, of, like, they just didn't think. Like, there's nothing to look forward to. No rest, no leave, no enjoyment, no life.
But even, like, they all seem to know they're going to... They all, like... Remember the scene in the house with the five British guys and it was like, you haven't had sex and you're going to die in a couple of days. And, like, the uncle is drunk and he's, like, taking a smoke. He's like, I'm not going to die. And then everybody just kind of stops and they all, like, start pissing themselves off. And, like, as in, like, they all know that, well, we're going to our deaths here, like...
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was quite good.
Yeah, like, very well done. But I'm trying to think. Do I have any more notes about it? I don't.
Well, it kind of like it gets to the end where the girl, our main girl, Chuum or whatever her name was,
Chuum,
like her and her friend. Like she gets her friend on the boat to get the plan. To the Allies, because like the chiefs of the Allies were like, it's a suicide mission. It's like, well, that's all we can do.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh great, like just send them all to.
All we can do now is pray.
And then eventually they get the map or whatever. So they go back out that after like losing fucking half their people trying to do their first wave, they go back out and like. The British soldiers are kind of like a fucking SEAL Team 6 sneaking in the back.
Yeah.
Like, and they eventually, you know, they get the Germans on their heels. But I did like the scene where, because your man, our Dutch defector, is just, he's not even shooting anybody. He's just holding the shells so that they can use the fucking automatic machine gun. And then, like, there's some little kid that he keeps, like, keeping an eye on.
Yeah, freaking out.
He starts freaking out. And then, like, this is the other one that's, like, a real fucking horrible Nazi. Where he's, like... I don't know. He gets angry at the kid for some reason. And, like, he pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's going to kill him. And then, like, he runs away. He kills the kid. And then it's, like, he pulls the gun on our Dutch guy. And he's, like, start shooting. And you're, like... Your man doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
and then like the nasty German just gets like shot in the head. I was like, "Oh shit!" Like, good. Like,
there was loads of that as well, where you're like, you know, you're not expecting someone to just drop. Like, there's always like the person's right beside him, and they be like back and forth for a few minutes. Okay, we're gonna blah, 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 and then like just boom.
Yeah,
like okay, that's him gone. Or even that great scene with the two girls on the boat where she pushes your one off and says, "Stay down,"
and then she surrenders.
She surrenders, but then you're one in the boat then, even when she gets to where she's going. Doesn't she die then as well?
She dies on like a cot, like, you know,
And like, so, there was like, seems so like cruel that like, like in any other movie, but like, oh, she gets away.
This movie should have been called No One Gets Out Alive. Because very few of them do. Literally everybody bar two people in our cast die. Like,
and No One Gets Out Alive should have been called The Forgotten Battle.
No, I don't know why it should have been called.
Because it's forgettable.
The Forgotten Movie.
Okay, well.
But anyway.
Step ahead.
Yeah. You get a bit of redemption for our Dutch defector when he gets back to... Like, it turns out like he's back where your one is being held and she's about to be raped.
Oh, yeah.
And he... I was actually like... I was like, yeah, like fucking stick that guy with a knife. But then he gets shot and, you know, he dies.
It is just death everywhere.
And then, really, and then it just kind of, the movie just kind of ends. Like, she goes back to like her house, or she's on the way back to her house, and our British guy just jumps in the back of a truck onto the next part.
Yeah.
And it just gives you a little title card being like, they were liberated, blah, blah, blah.
It was very real. The end. You know what I mean? It was just, very, well, I mean, because it was based on a real thing, I guess, but you know what I mean? It was not, it wasn't
glamorized.
That's what I like. It didn't give me any bullshit, Terry. Yeah. That's what I appreciated about it. It was, and I'm glad that we actually chatted about it, because I was wondering, I was like, why is this movie so good? And other
have you
movies,
seen Saving Private Ryan?
I haven't, actually.
See, I was thinking, watching this, I was like, we should do, like, what's so great about World War II?
Ooh, nothing. I'm a big fan of World War II, to be honest.
So we should do, I mean, like,
the movies.
Yeah, the movies, not the war.
Not the war itself.
Yeah, but we should do like World War II movies. Mm. I've got like I was doing a list today when I was like, and there's some really good ones. Like,
Pianist on there?
Not on my list. No.
Oh, I was a fan of that.
Yeah,
but yeah, but I think just because it was World War II, I am a bit, and I have to say, because I was watching that Netflix thing, all about World War II in color, or it was something like that. There was one of them, I can't remember, I don't know if it was World War II in colour, but it was something that was out a year or two ago. And it was fucking brilliant. It was, I mean, so interesting.
Having been to Berlin and being to the Holocaust, the Apocalypse of Terror, and being to Checkpoint Charlie, and like seeing them getting stopped and stuff, I was like, they got it right, like, just in terms of like...
You would expect the Dutch to know what they're talking about, I suppose, with this sort of, with this topic in particular, like...
It was very good, I have to say.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that, Terry. And I did think now, about half an hour in, I was like, oh, I got this motherfucker now.
Good choice, Andy. Good choice.
Thank you. So, where would it rank, more importantly?
I'm going to give this a 7.75.
7.75?
Yeah.
Okay.
7.75.
Okay. So, where does that put it?
Third.
So we have...
I got first? Mank.
Mank first.
Then I got The Five Bloods. Then I got this. Then I got In the Tall Grass. And then I got No One Gets Out Alive.
Okay.
Where are you going to put it?
I will give it an 8.5. I was a big fan of it.
A number one.
It's my number
top
one.
Top of the heap.
By far. I would have this number one.
These little town blues.
just don't make eye contact with him, everyone. Ignore him.
Away.
He'll go away. Just ignore him.
I'm going to make a brand new start.
Sir, please. Sir. Sir. Me and my family are just trying to have dinner here.
This is the Wendy's.
I would give it, I put it number one. I'd say The Five Bloods number two, In the Tall Grass, In the Tall Grass number three.
Look, I'm gonna say something to you. We know No One Gets Out Alive four, Mank five. I'm gonna say something to you now that I didn't say last week and I should have said.
Go on.
And to our listeners,
go on, big man.
I can't apologize enough for you, but if you ever pull that bullshit that you did last week again. We're gonna have a problem. You get one, okay? You get one. You get
all
one.
Right. Fine. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
No, I did. I did feel bad.
Yeah, like,
you know what? I was torn. 50% of me felt bad, and the other 50% of me thought, "Fuck this and fuck anybody that got a problem with Mike Lowry." I'm not wasting my time with this shit.
Your precious time.
And this is, and that Mank is a classic example of a movie giving me bullshit. Just stop giving me bullshit. You know what I mean? Just stop. Just, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, Tim.
No, I don't. I don't.
But you don't. But you at home, you know what I mean.
Sound off in the comments. Is Andy wrong?
Yeah, sound off, actually. Sound off. Has anyone seen Mank? And if so, what did you think of it? All right? That's all I got.
Tell the good people where they can find us.
Instagram, Twitter. On Twitter, you can find us at WSGA Pod. And on Instagram, we're What's So Great About Podcast. You can find links on our Instagram to everything we do. We post clips semi-regularly, and we have always had the latest episode up. The odd free Patreon episode is up there as well. And links to basically everything we do. Terry, I mentioned Patreon. Would you like to take that baton a bit further?
Oh, the Patreon. Well,
yes, the Patreon.
If you want to be like one of the cool kids and join up and see what's happening over behind the paywall, for the low, low fee of $5 a month, €450, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
You get access to a boat, a shed load, a farm load.
Ooh.
A silo load.
A siloed. It was right there.
No. I don't like
Come on, it's right there. You turn your nose up a siloed and it's just right there in front of you.
Make any sense.
How dare
a siloed
you
means like a load better? Of size. Like
it's just quick, it's there. No. It's
I don't like
them
it.
Together.
I prefer the stiltedness of my silo load.
Oh, yeah.
Loads of stuff. Anyway, you get all our back catalogue of What's So Great About Marvel, What's So Great About 90s Action, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops. You get a bunch of our top fives. You get a bunch of our playlists that we made for one another. You get a bunch of these random one-off episodes that we've done, like Perfect Day or
that was great.
Dream Festival. Like, you know, we got a bunch of good free-flowing stuff. We did a radio show there.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
I was thinking, would this translate well on a podcast? I was thinking if you did a podcast on top five moments of our lives, would that be interesting for other people? You know what I mean? Or would it be too like the birth of my child and from that day I always knew.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know,
you have to include that, don't you?
Yeah, you have to show that. I mean, we could maybe do a proviso of like not
top five moments of childhood or, you know,
top five moments, yeah, something like that. Yeah, I'll mull
when
on
did
that,
you
yeah.
have Joni? What age were you?
I was 29.
Top five moments up to your 28th.
You could just say not including the kids.
No, Andy, not clean enough.
Okay, 18 from 18, 10 years, something to do with 18 to 28. Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe. Let me see. Yeah. I mean,
2000 to 2010 are top moments from 15 to 25.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that interesting, though? We need to flesh this out. Sorry,
definitely. Thanks for disrupting the flow. Anyway,
no problem. No.
But loads of really good stuff, and you know, it's we always get the good feedback over there from our patrons, who we love, by the way. You know,
dearly.
But if you can't afford the $5 a month, well, I understand times are tough. In the middle of a pandemic, I get it. But you know what you can do for me? You can do something else. Now, Andy, did you know that 41,000 people died at the Battle of the Scheldt?
Oh.
If you want to take that four, take that one, add them together, gives you a big five, and I want a five-star review from you, and you,
amazing.
And you, and you.
Amazing.
I'm a numbersman.
He is a numbersman, folks.
Yeah, I mean, that's fast math. Yeah, that's what I do for a living. So give me a five-star review, lads. Come on. Let's be friends. More so. It's Christmas. It's fucking Christmas, lads.
It's
coming up.
Shit.
Give me
you
five-star review.
Like. You got some nerve giving him five stars.
You know what? I'm not asking for a present off you. I'm not asking for a €5 Patreon. Well, I am asking for €5 Patreon. But if you can't, look, if you're not going to give me that, at least give me the 5-star review. Like, get me back in the charts for Christmas. And you'll be back
in
my hearts.
What are you doing here? Anyway.
I have two hearts.
Excuse me?
I said, back in my hearts. Plural.
Well, look.
One's a cow heart.
On that note, okay, it's a cow's heart.
Trying to make a monkey out of you.
Thank you very much. What have you got next week, actually?
We've got
T-Dog.
I believe it's Roma. Another black and white joint, is it?
Oh, fuck off. Hang on. Let me see. I'm going to do a quick little Google here. Oh,
and it's not in English Christ. Either. It's in, like, Spanish.
Spanish? 2018. Okay. A Mexican American drama. Oh boy. Hang on. Hang on. I'm going to just get a little trailer. Not a trailer, but I'm going to just get a little
synopsis.
Roma review. Or, yeah, synopsis, yeah.
You'll find they're probably good reviews. Spoilers, but it's won awards, Andy.
Has it?
Yeah.
Cleo is one of two domestic workers who help Antonio and Sofia take care of the four children in 70s Mexico City. Complications soon arise when Antonio suddenly runs away with his mistress and Cleo finds out that she's pregnant. See,
I didn't know any of this, Andy. You're ruining it for me.
Oh, sorry. I mean, it's a synopsis. I don't know. Is that giving away? Anyway, I'll stop.
Yeah. Please do.
Okay, well, we've that to look forward to next week, folks.
I think it's going to be good.
Prove us wrong, Roma.
Prove us wrong, Alfonso Cuarón. Yeah, rhymes.
Oh, there we go. Alfonso Cuarón, oh, you're right and everything. Okay, well, look, I'm not going to ruin it for myself. I'm going to close this down. I will do it with an open mind and heart. I will watch the full thing, Terry.
You fucking better.
I'll watch it. And
you better
spit venom next week if it's in any way like Mike.
Andy, I believe you have something to say to the nice people.
Yeah, there's the door.
Now come on now, young man.
I love you.
Very good. And until next week, folks.
Can I play PlayStation now?
The road is long, with a many winding tongue that leads us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong. My brother.